Let's just take it from the top. So give me the night, feel the beat of the rhythm of the night. Tonight, tonight, working on a nightmare.
You are listening to Night Vision.
How'd that make you feel? Giving a child his freedom.
Felt good.
You have been at this for 12 years.
My country, 'tis of thee.
Why are you doing it?
Because God's children are not for sale. It is the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen.
We're Homeland Security. You know we can't go off rescuing Honduran kids in Colombia.
This job tears you to pieces. And this is my one chance to put those pieces back together.
Yet somehow, you have failed to bring me one real-world lead.
It's over, Tim. Close up and come back home.
So you quit your job, and you go and rescue those kids.
South of that river is all rebel territory. No one goes in.
What if this was your daughter?
So, she's gone.
Hear that? That's the sound of freedom.
Sound of Freedom, based on the incredible true story, shines a light on even the darkest of places. After rescuing a young boy from ruthless child traffickers, a federal agent learns the boy's sister is still captive and decides to embark on a dangerous mission to save her. With time running out, he quits his job and journeys deep into the Colombian jungle, putting his life on the line to free her from a fate worse than death. Welcome to another episode of Night Vision. The name of the film is Sound of Freedom, and it has already surpassed $100 million at the box office to make it the sleeper hit of the summer. But more importantly, and perhaps more significantly, it is shedding light on a topic rarely discussed in most social circles: human trafficking. Now, before we move forward, I need to let you know that what follows will be a frank and open discussion about the toll that human trafficking takes and the collateral damage it inflicts on a global scale. Human slavery is not a new concept. So where do we begin our journey in an attempt to understand this atrocity? Joining me today is Mr. Michael Velasco. He's the pro-life director, among other things, for the Indiana State Council, the Knights of Columbus. All right, so let's talk about you for a minute. I know you don't like to talk about yourself, but give us a little background, your involvement with the Knights of Columbus and the pro-life movement.
Well, I've been involved with the Knights of Columbus for 30, 35 years. I've been actively pro-life for over 20. And for the past 8, I've been involved with a group called the Share Group, which is involved in fighting human trafficking.
Michael, I appreciate you taking the time. And this is a difficult topic to talk about, but we wanted the show to be timely and relevant. And this film has clearly made human trafficking and the trafficking of children and the sex trade, among other things, just it's something we can't turn away from. It's something we can't ignore. So first and foremost, I know the media likes to take words and phrases, and we have catchphrases, and we refer to all of these different, nicknames, et cetera. But how do you define human trafficking? What is human trafficking?
Well, the basic definition is transporting human beings for slavery, either both labor or sexual, or sometimes both. So it's just all it is. It's a form of a modern day slavery.
So where is it most prevalent? Where do we see it the most? I mean, and how does it happen? I mean, the movie is a pretty realistic portrayal.
Yeah, it's a worldwide criminal enterprise. There's estimates of over 20 million victims throughout the world. Some of the leading places are like Afghan, China. The Asian and African continents are the most prevalent. They have the most human trafficking going on. And they not only use it in these companies, but they import or export it to other companies, countries. I'm sorry. So it is a worldwide thing. There's no place that's safe.
And what we're talking about here, one of the things that I know the film was very, very did very effectively was to describe some of the victims themselves. When we think of human trafficking and we think of slavery, immediately we think adults, but we're talking about small children here.
Human trafficking involves both sexes and all ages. Everyone is at risk for human trafficking, because it ranges from infants to actually 60 and 70 year olds. There's always someone, some sick person somewhere that's looking for a victim in their whatever age group they're looking for. The age group, the education doesn't matter. Economics don't matter. The only thing that matters is the person themselves. The largest age group we've discovered is largest age group for females is between 14 and 21 years of age. The average life expectancy of these young ladies, these young women, is 7 years. Average life expectancy, 7 years.
Now once they've entered the sex trade, got about 7 years. Okay.
7 years. Now the causes of death are murder, drugs, and believe it or not, suicide, because some of these women just can't go on. I don't know where you want to go from here, but
is this, are many of them in, is it servitude, like an indentured servant situation, or is it all for monetary gain for the pimps and the abductors?
The sex slave is all monetary and it's all slavery. There's no indentured servant. The only indentured people are primarily those who are used as laborers. Many times imported, like into this country, they are taken, they have no papers and they have nothing to do but labor and return the fruits of their labor to the criminal element who owns them. And that's the indentured type. Mm-hmm. But the sexual is it's all slavery.
One of the things that Sound of Freedom also was very good at portraying was the pursuit of these individuals. And why is it so difficult? Tim Ballard is the gentleman whom the story or this particular story is based on. Why is it so difficult if we know that it's going on? Why is law enforcement so ineffective?
Well,
is it because in some of these countries, law enforcement itself, you know, it reaches into many. I mean, this trade reaches into many different worlds, right? I mean, like law enforcement and people who are in the business of trying to help individuals perpetuate it.
Well, in continents like Africa and Asia, there are no law enforcement. What they would call law enforcement is there is just something owned by the government, which the government is prospering from the indentured or the slaved people. So there's no reason to do anything. As far as this country's concerned, it's difficult first to locate them. It's difficult to when they're captured, it's difficult to get witnesses. Also, there's, I hate to say it, but the system is designed to protect them.
That's the word I was looking for earlier was the programs, some of the programs, not all, I don't want to make a blanket statement, but some of the programs that have been put in place to make certain that this doesn't happen, indeed do benefit from the trade itself. So, and this is an interesting question. You hit upon it. You said when they're coming into this country, or when they're imported into this country, so to speak. So it does happen here in the United
States. Absolutely, and it's not just people brought into the country for this. Human traffickers are capturing and grooming American young youth, and they don't have to necessarily reach out to importing human beings from a foreign country. They're here. One of the largest the most effective group way to get them is the grooming. As I said before, there's no real statistic that we're looking for. They will. There's a demand for any age, any sex group, and one of the very popular ones ever since the existence of the computer and the internet is called grooming. And these young women and young men too are on the computer so much, and they're on the internet, and they're in these chat places. And once they're connected with someone, some of these people are able to get into their heads, groom them, tell them how they're friends, et cetera, and finally get them to join them for anything at all, either a meeting or a party or whatever, and then they're gone.
So they're seducing them online.
And the grooming on the internet is extremely dangerous. And parents who do not, there's always the privacy thing, especially since the liberal groups want to protect everybody's rights, even the right of a 10-year-old to do whatever they want. Parents have the right to take care, to watch that child till they're 18 anyway, and they don't need any interference from the ACLU or anyone else to say that child can do what they want. You've got to watch that internet, and you've got to keep an eye on your children, because no matter who they are, and what you think of them, and how confident they are, and how you think it's not going to happen, it can happen to them. It can happen to anyone. People are masters at psychology, and they're the pit of the humanity. Well, shame on you, but that's what they are.
Well, and they are manipulating. They are manipulating our young people.
They can't be trusted. You've got to watch what your children are doing.
So number one, because I was going down that road of, you know, what can be done to stop this. So that, but before we get there, let's talk about responsibility and parenting again. This film doesn't blink. This is not an easy film to watch. Everyone that I've talked to about this film said that it was one of the most brutal, gripping films that they have seen in quite some time. And I believe that's because of the way it honestly portrays the subject matter. And I think in this country, we have a very difficult time discussing and talking about things that make us feel uncomfortable, things that are awkward. And especially when you're dealing with children and sexuality in the same discussion, I feel that a lot of people say, we can't talk about that. That doesn't happen. And I think that many individuals are, I'm talking in generalizations here, but many individuals have a blind eye and don't want to know what's going on. I hear about it happening in third world countries. I hear about it happening in Colombia and Africa and Honduras. But certainly it can't happen. It can't happen here until it happens to them. So one of the ways that you've already pointed out for us to at least become more aware is to be aware of what your kid's doing. I think you're absolutely right. I think kids have access to the computer. My father, I remember when I was growing up, my father once said, "Hey, you know what? I'll take the door off the hinges." I didn't have any, you know, I'd say, "Well, I'll go to my room." He said, "You'll go to your room in my house." So so that is number one, is that parents, and they need to have these discussions, I think, too. I think children need to be aware of the dangers out there. And I wonder if sometimes we don't do enough as parents to inform our kids. Now I'm going to get in trouble. It's not all, you know, Disney and unicorns out there. You know, the world is a cruel place. I mean, it's filled with beauty, but it's also filled with great danger. And I think number one, that parents really need to know what their kids, or more importantly, who their kids are talking to.
Yeah, I know that my generation, when I was growing up, but much like you, I never questioned them because I knew I'd get whooped. But raising my children, my four, they were never anywhere that my wife and I did not know where they were going and where they were. And we were chaperones, and we were constantly in their face. And what you get is people are worried about that. They're worried about, oh, my children's freedom. But that gives children, they know that they're cared for, and it gives them confidence. And what's happened is by letting them loose, by letting them have their little computer, by letting them do whatever they want, you think you're giving them some kind of freedom, but you're destroying your children. You help to destroy your children. They've got to grow up as children and become adults, I guess, in the old way.
I remember my parents, and we laugh about it now as adults, but my, you know, remember when your parents would say, "This is hurting me more than it's hurting you." I don't have any privacy, and it's none of your business, mom and dad, and you don't need to know. My parents knew where I was going, who I was going with. My buddies, I don't know if you were, we used to, if you went to your buddy's house and you hung out and you're playing and decided to go to another buddy's house, you called your parents and you said, "Hey, Ma, I'm going over to Michael's and we're going to go do this." And they would check. They would call. And they would say, "Hey, is my kid over there?" And I think we have allowed tablets and the internet and the computers and cell phones and TikTok and all of these other apps to raise our kids or to babysit our kids. And I think that I could be wrong, but I really think that does contribute to at least the opportunities for these horrible things to happen because the kid's not paying attention. They don't know what's going on. They don't know what's going on around them. Everybody's looking down at their phones and walking into manholes. I've seen the videos, you know.
They don't have the maturity to understand what's going on and what they're listening to and what they're watching. The maturity isn't there yet. Their minds are not developed enough to understand that. And just like you said, one of the things my two daughters, who were 17 months apart, wherever we went, wherever we went in a store or whatever, I had one of them put their finger around my belt loop on one side and one on my belt loop on the other. And I never walked anywhere unless those two girls were hooked to me.
Well, I think, and I agree with that, and that's...
You've got to watch. You have to watch because there's madmen out there.
And that's the space where I grew up. My mother, you know, she always knew where I was. She never let me out of her sight. And I think that kids don't see it now. Well, I think the problem with a lot of parents is that they see their kids, well, they're just little adults, but they're not.
Nope.
They're not even close to being adults. 18, 19, 20-year-olds are not yet adults. And I'm talking, like you said, as far as maturity. I'm not talking legality. I'm saying that, like you said, their brains and their emotional development, even at that age, they're still not quite where they need to be. And these are things that I think parents need to take a greater responsibility. And I think, unfortunately, sometimes when we point these things out, parents see it as a criticism as opposed to, we just want to help you keep your kids safe. You're not a bad parent. It just means that you need to pay more attention. Is there anything else we can do aside from awareness? Do you know of anything else that we can do
to keep them safe? Not really. There's education. There's as far as human trafficking going on in your community, not specifically for your child, but you've got to be educated. You have to know what to look for. You've got to, what's the saying? When you see something, say something. There's a hotline, the Polaris hotline, which is 888-373-7888. When you see something, you report it. If you see something that you can see to be, active right now, you can call 911. That's the best you could do is try to get, authorities there, whether it's successful or not, that's your job. You've got to protect anybody who's there. We're here to protect everybody. And that's part of the organization that we formed about 8 years ago called the Share Group. And the Share Group, we put on conferences to bring awareness to nurses, police, school counselors, teachers, parents, etc. We have a six-hour conference with a lunch, and we have speakers from Homeland Security, FBI, State Police, victims reporting. There's also, I don't know if I should mention this detective agency, but we have the detective agency in Chicago that comes and brings us videos of rescues that they have perpetrated. They just bust in and save these children. And we have those on tape, and we see it. And it everybody's eyes open up very wide when they see something and realize that that's happening right here in the community. I know the corridor here down 8090-8094 across Northwest Indiana into Chicago is one of the most prevalent areas for human trafficking. So it's everywhere, and it's especially big here.
So as we wrap things up, I mean, so people need to remain vigilant. They need to pay attention to what's going on. And there's no shame in reaching out if you have questions. You mentioned them again. Was it the Polaris hotline?
Yep.
What's the number?
It's 888-373-7888. It is a confidential reporting phone number. Or like I said, if there's something that you can see that needs urgent attention, you can call 911. All these things are anonymous. No one needs to know. But if you can, if you report something and if you see something and say something and save someone, well, it's all great in a day's work.
Yes, it is. And Michael Velasco, I appreciate you joining us today. We'll share those numbers again later on in the program. That's the share group. Also, the Polaris hotline, 888-373-7888. I see I'm important. People are calling me. 888-373-7888. And
yeah, that's a 24/7, 365 hotline. Always available.
And the film is Sound of Freedom. It is in theaters now. They have a Pay It Forward program. I would urge you to go to angelstudio.com is their website. They distributed the film, and it's in theaters right now. And it's something that I think you need to see. And I thank you once again, Michael. I appreciate you joining us today.
Okay, thank you.
You have been at this for 12 years.
My country, 'tis of thee.
Why are you doing it?
Sweet land of liberty.
Because God's children are not for sale.
Vision is a presentation of the Indiana State Council of the Knights of Columbus and Catholic Radio Indy. Night Vision is produced by Z Media Studios in South Bend, Indiana.
Catholic Radio Indy. There's lives being touched every single day by it.